As we continue in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 15 this evening. If you are taking notes, I have entitled the message this evening, Christ and His Church, Christ and His Church. And we're going to begin in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 15. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your greatness. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Lord, I pray now at this time for those who are here, Lord, you'd use the word of God to speak to their heart, to challenge them and to guide them, and help them focus on the one that matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for each and every person that you just do that work which only you can do in their heart. I pray revival would start in people's hearts and lives by them taking their eyes off the things of this world and the cares of this world and placing them on you. I pray as well, if there's someone in our midst, they don't know the joy of sins forgiven. They never place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. I pray that this would be the night they trust in you for their forgiveness. Again, Lord, I also pray at this time, give me the words and wisdom to preach, thus saith the Lord. I pray you give guidance to my lips, and I pray that words come out of my mouth, they would glorify you. And I ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. When we think of Christ and who he is, one must not forget that he is the head of the body, the church. We gather together as believers under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again so that you could have everlasting life. We gather together to worship him. He is the one in charge. The one who gives us direction is not other men and women, it is Christ. We follow his direction. We follow his leadership. When we think about the church, the body of believers, the head is Christ. The church belongs to him. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. We have already noticed last week that Christ has always been, always will be. But when we consider the fact that we are gathered together tonight, this evening, it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. He has really, he is the one who has given us life. When I mean that, I mean he has given us life. Not only our physical life, but as Christians, he's given us eternal life. And God wants everyone to partake of this eternal life. That is why God so loved the world. He sent his only begotten Son, so whoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But part of that life is found in the body, the church. And not every person who is a Christian is a member of a church. Not every person who believes is involved or where they ought to be in their Christian life as part of the body of Christ. The church age, as we know it, began with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 2:10 and following, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, and also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is a representation of what Christ has done in our life. He has changed everything. Now he is our everything. He has saved us from sin. and he has given us life, eternal life. Christ has changed us from the inside out. Through Christ, who is the head of all principality and power, we have received, the Bible says, the circumcision made without hands. Christ has made us alive. He has made us have life, and life more abundantly. Without Christ, we are dead in trespasses and sins. But in Christ, we are made alive. But as we consider who Christ is and the life that we have in him, it's important for us to understand with Christ also began the church. The church began with Christ. It began at the cross of Calvary. What I mean when I say that, it began at the cross because without the cross, there would be no church. Without what Christ did for us at Calvary, we would not have eternal life. We would not have the opportunity to be a part of the body, which the Bible speaks of as being the church. This evening, we're going to look at Christ as being the head of the church. We're going to look at the fact that he's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things he might have the preeminence. First, Christ is the head. The Bible says Christ is the head. That means he is the one who is in charge. We're his purchased possession. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our bodies. Christ died for you at Calvary, not just so you can have eternal life, then do whatever you want. He died for you at Calvary so that you can have eternal life and serve him. So that you would give up your old life, which means giving up of yourself, and give your life to Christ in service. That's what God wants from each and every one of us. And as the head, he deserves as such. He is the one who is in charge of your life, or he ought to be. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. The Bible says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." This church, the body, it is the body of Christ. When we think of the church, we must realize that it is simply a group of believers who receive Christ as Savior and then have been baptized. I say that have been baptized. I want to remind you that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It's simply a picture of what Christ has done for you at Calvary. It's a symbol of what he has done for you. But there is a privilege in it. And the privilege is this. Those who are baptized, the Bible says, they're added unto the church. Those who follow Christ in baptism, they have a privilege. They get to be a part of the body of Christ. And with this privilege, there are many things but we can learn of. But I just want you to understand this evening simply this, that Christ is our head. And part of the privilege of being following him is we get to a place within the body of believers. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe is the fact that we have become the sons and daughters of God. But he also has given us positions within the body of believers. He's given us places where we ought to serve. And I know a lot of people may sometimes struggle with this. What does God have for me? What is my place within the local body of believers? Well, some of them, we all share in commonality in the fact that we ought to be all praying for each other. We ought to all be servicing and ministering one to another, being like Christ to each other, encouraging each other in the love of Christ. And there are other things which I won't touch on this evening just for a process of time, but God will bless you with what he sees fit. And he places where you belong because he is the one in charge. He is the head. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." When you became a Christian, it began with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he has done in your life is he has given you the power to become a child of God. And part of the privilege of that power he has done in your life is to be a part of the body, the church. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 1 and following. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and following. The Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, all these verses really comes down to speaking of Christ as the head of the body of the church, and he has placed people in certain places as he sees fit for the edifying of the body, for the church to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, for people to learn more about who Jesus is, so that they can minister and do the work which God has called them to do, so that we can be who we ought to be in order to reach the world around us, in order to see the lost souls who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ come to that place where they'll place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has placed every person in their place to fulfill their part of the body within the church. And the reason why we know that is because he is the head of the body. He is the one in charge. Even within our own bodies, it ought to operate this way, at least I hope it does. When you tell your hand to move, it moves. It listens to your mind. It does as it's told to do. And within the group of believers, that is what God wants. He wants us to come to a place where we're willing not to do what we want, but we're willing to do what God has told us to do, so that we can be where we ought to be, that we will be in our place within a body of believers. The purpose of the body is to do what the head tells it to do. And that is simply this. As a church, a body of believers, we're gathered together to do what Jesus Christ has told us to do. He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to be an example of the believers. He wants us to serve him in everything that we do. We will only operate as we ought to when we recognize who it is that is in control. Who is the head of the church? It is Christ. Who's in charge? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much to say about the body and positions of authority and all that needs to be said. I wish I could say, but there's not the time to say about it this evening, but I would encourage you to look into the scriptures, What does the Scripture say about the body of believers and their places and how we ought to operate? God does everything decently in order, and He has a way and things operate, and you can find that within the Scriptures. Not only is Christ the head of the church, Christ is the beginning. The Bible says He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. We have already dealt with the subject last week that Christ is the beginning of all things. When you look around you this evening, when you see the stars, when you see the snow, when you see the rain, when you see all those things, when you look around you, it was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator of all things. The fact that when you look in the mirror, you are seeing a creation of Christ. God made you. But He is also the beginning of the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. Christ is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who began the church. The beginning of all churches started with Him. The church exists today because of what Christ did for us at the cross and His resurrection from the dead. The Bible says, Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, then all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I'm going to go down to verse 24. The Bible says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. When we look at the church, the body of Christ, it began because what Christ did for you at Calvary. It exists because Christ was the beginning of it. He is the one that put it in place. We speak of the church age, and the church age is simply this. It's the age in which those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of their sins gather together to worship Him. Those who have been baptized or followed Him that step of obedience are a part of His church, and He is the beginning of it all. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He is the first one to be resurrected because He is the resurrection and the life. And I'm here to give you the good news that because He has been resurrected, one day you will be as well. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because He has risen from the dead, one day if the Lord allows you to live long enough and you pass away from the scene, you die, the Bible says you're more or less, you're still alive. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but one day your body will be resurrected, and those who remain will be caught up in the air, and will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. He'll return for us at one point in time. But when we think about the beginning, Christ is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who began everything. The Bible says the following, John chapter 11, verse 22 and following. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto Him, yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of God, which should come into the world. We just simply need to remember in this passage of Scripture in Colossians 1:18, He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything, and in everything, Christ is the beginning of it all. And that includes the church. And there's a reason for that, and the Bible says that the purpose of this, and one of the purposes of it, is that in everything, Christ will receive the preeminence. Not only is Christ the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, but in all things He deserves preeminence. And really, what preeminence means, it means He deserves first place. He deserves first place in your life, above all else, above everything. Think of the thing most valuable to you in this life, whether it be your children, or your wife, or your husband. Christ deserves first place before them. Think about the things you value in this life. You have all, maybe a lot of riches. You have a home. You have a car. You have the enjoyment of hobbies, and you're able to do so many things God has blessed you with. But before all that, one deserves first place, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves preeminence. That means he has to be first place in your life. When God is first place, everything else will fall into its proper place. And it's hard for us to comprehend that sometimes. Sometimes we think about, well, if I don't put this here and this here, then I'm not going to get what I need in life. But you'll find out as a Christian, when Christ is where he ought to be, you'll have all that you'll need in life. When Christ has his proper place, and that he has preeminence, you'll have all that you'll need in life. The Bible says the following in the book of John, John chapter 1 and verse 25. Turn there if you would. John chapter 1 and verse 25. John chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible says the following. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latch it, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done by Bara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Christ is worthy to have preeminence in all things. When John the Baptist looked at him, he said, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. I'm not even worthy to go to his feet and bow down before him. But the reason why he believed this and the reason why he thought this is he understood the importance of Christ. He is superior to all things because by him all things consist. By him all things exist. Each and everything was made by him and for him. Christ is the head. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. Christ is everything to us as believers. He's the beginning of everything. He is our very life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Christ is our life. He deserves to be first in all things. In the body of believers, the church, it operates, and it'll only operate the way it ought to operate when we put him first in everything that we do. The focus always needs to be Christ. It's not on do's and don'ts. It's not on religion. It's not on practices, but it's on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ is first, then we'll put things in their proper place. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll begin in verse number 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to rot the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The Bible says that we are to put off the old man, put on the new. We need to mortify our members. And this is possible only possible when Christ has his proper place in our life, when he is first place. It's when we turn our back on ourselves and say, you know what, I'm not going to serve the lust of this flesh. I'm not going to give in to my flesh to the appetites. And I'm going to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes sacrifice. That takes commitment. It's not an easy thing to put something to death when it comes to yourself, your flesh. But that is what God wants us to do. He wants to be preeminent in your life. He wants to have first place. It is the blood of his cross that bought your redemption. And because of what he has done for you, we ought to give him our all. And when we consider him as being the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead, when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, we must consider him that he is our all in all. And this is found in the book of Colossians chapter 2. Now I'm going to begin in Colossians chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 18, and I'm going to read verses 18 and following. The Bible says the following: Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish after the commandments and doctrines of men? Do's and don'ts are not what make you a Christian. What makes us a Christian, obviously, is our relationship with him. But what we ought to do as Christians in order to have Christ to have that proper place in life is to put him in first in all things. And that means when it comes to our worship, how we live, and what we do, it all centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about putting our ideas, what we think ought to be done, and saying this is how things are done, but it's about following God's word and what it says. Don't let the men of this world confuse you and make you lose focus on what matters. Do's and don'ts or religion or will worship, worshiping things they don't understand, that will not draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What draws you close to the Lord Jesus Christ is recognizing who he is and what he's done for you at Calvary and serving him with a heart of love and gratitude. Putting him in his proper place. Allowing him to have his preeminence. I'm going to begin reading in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. And you can just follow along as I read. And I'll highlight some parts of this as I go along. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'll just stop right there. The Bible is speaking here. It says you need to be careful when it comes to following the Lord Jesus Christ, that people don't beguile you with enticing words. The center of your relationship is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not doing all these extras. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's not about religion. It's about your relationship. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him as you go to his word and asking him for guidance. It's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll begin again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Your completeness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found in your practices. It's found in him. He is what makes us complete. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, following, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ for the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. I read all that, and it's simply what the Bible is speaking of is here is this. Christ is the center of everything as a Christian. Christ is the center of everything for the Christian. It is not found in ritual. It's not found in your religion. It's not found in rules. Everything for the Christian is found in the one who deserves preeminence. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the one who deserves to be first in everything. And we're not to put up before him ministry. We're not to put up practices before him. Christ needs to be first in everything as to why we do what we do. When we think about Christ and his preeminence, the preeminence that he deserves, we have to remember what Christ has done for us and why he deserves everything above all else and what he has done for us. It's because of his great salvation. Christ is the head of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. When we think of the church, we must remember it exists because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. He gave us life. Life more abundantly. Without him, where would we be? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you be right now? He has given us direction. He's given us new life. He's shown us what we ought to be doing as believers. The Bible says the following, and I'll end here in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the head. He is the one in charge. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. With him, everything began. Your life as you know it began with him. Our life as members within the body of the believers within the church began with him. And when we think about that and what he's done for us, he deserves preeminence. That means we need to consider him in everything that we do. So easily become distracted and let other things take that place. But allow Christ to have his rightful place in your life. Because without him, we would have nothing. And because of him, we have everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for all that you've done for us and in our lives. Lord, I pray you'd help each and every one of us recognize who it is that is in charge. And Lord, we'd operate accordingly, that we'd allow you to take control. Lord, I pray you forgive me where I fail you in a weekly matter in this place. And I pray you'd help each and every one of us to get to that place where all times and all places we put you first. And Lord, I pray that you just give us the grace to do so. I pray again, Lord, that you be glorified in everything and that you continue to do that work in us that only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
I truly believe that a right relationship with Jesus is going to right all relationships. And he must have the preeminence in our life. 314 is our benediction tonight. I am thine, O Lord. 315, when you find it, if you're able, let's stand together. And we'll sing on that first verse. I am thine, O Lord.